In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Patience. Life is well lived if we are patient. Our salvation is won by patience. Patience is active. Patience is restless and seeking. Patience is never passive. Patience is learned only with great effort and by experience. Patience is the fruit of faith and of love. The gospel and the epistle talk a lot about patience today. And Great Lent is a time when we should exercise great patience. But we should also be very active during Great Lent. A person who's truly patient is extremely active. I don't know where we get this idea that patience means you never get upset about anything, or you know, you never raise your voice or something. That's the emotional content of patience. The spiritual content of patience is that because of your great faith, you're going to make a lot of effort and you're going to stick with it. So Great Lent is a time for us to be working hard, to be expecting something to happen. Patience is not merely waiting around. It's working with faith. The gospel and the epistle talk about it. They teach that patience is based on observation, on experience, and faith, and it's expressed by work. So what is the work? We were put on earth to work. Adam and Eve, they were told to till the garden. They were told to work. We work to be changed. We work to be pure. We work to be united with God and to know Him and nothing else. We work to be rid of our passions, our ignorance, our sins. All of these things are ugly and horrible, and they keep us from knowing God and nothing else. We should always be doing this work, but we're weak and we're easily tired. And the church, since she's the body of Christ, and as its head has Christ, therefore has His mind, He created us, He knows us. The church has created Great Lent as a time of year to set aside to work harder. It's basically almost a tenth of the year. Are you working harder? If you know what you are working for and who you are working for, you will naturally work harder. And as your abilities increase, then by the grace of God, you will attain your goal. So let's examine what the scriptures say about patience. There are four things without which you'll never learn to be patient as God wants you to be patient. They are what we think, what we do, knowledge that is gained from experience, and of course, in all things, that the grace of God is helping us. If you don't think the right way and do things the right way, then any life experiences will not lead to more patience, but actually quite the opposite. Anger and cynicism and all the rest. In the gospel today, Nathanael is told by Philip that he has seen the Messiah. Now Nathanael, he knows that Nazareth is this little backwater town of ill repute, so he didn't believe Philip because he knew Jesus was from Nazareth. So he says, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? That's an example of a bad way to think that does not lead to patience. This happens all the time because Nazareth, in this case, is a metaphor for what our eyes see, for what our emotions feel, for what our ears hear, for our evaluation of our circumstances, for our and our abilities and all the rest. So it's in other words, it's the things that we think. Many times we think nothing good will come out of another person or a situation or our efforts at prayer or fasting or some spiritual work or even ourselves. The psychologists have a phrase for this destructive way of thinking. They call it self-talk. It's when we tell ourselves things from our own understanding. God doesn't want us to think from our own understanding. He's waiting to enlighten us with His understanding. This cannot happen unless we obey Philip's response to Nathanael. Come and see. So this answer might seem simple and obvious, but clearly we don't get it. If we understood it, then we would be making much more progress in this life. Hidden in the depths of this answer is a call for patience. In Christianity, true Christianity that is, not the fake Christianity that most people live by, this patience includes resolute desire and an active way of thinking. So Nathanael obeyed Philip's directive, and he did come and see. And the Lord told him things that were amazing on that first day, and then Nathanael stayed, and he saw more amazing things and more difficult things. And truly, he saw. So we must obey this directive. Every day, we must try to come and see. That's what you're doing when you're saying your prayers when you don't feel like doing it. That's what you're doing when you're forgiving somebody who doesn't look sorry at all. You are obeying this directive. Of course, we'll keep doing this only if we believe there's something to see. Everybody gets tired. Everybody gets a little bit demoralized. Everybody needs to be reminded of what it is they're doing and why they're doing it. The apostles' words teach us an important skill if we're to have patience. So he says, "Wherefore, seeing that we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." The apostle is teaching us that we will not be patient unless we exert great effort. This effort must be mixed with knowledge of the great things God has done in the church. It's impossible to be patient if we give in to our sins. It's impossible to be patient if we continually live for ourselves. It's impossible to be patient if we don't viscerally, in our bones, feel the grace of God working in us and in all that we're doing, struggling in the church. And that we see that the church as a whole is full of those who have struggled and received the reward. That's the cloud of witnesses. Sometimes people ask me, what's the difference between being, for instance, a Baptist and an Orthodox Christian? One can certainly give a theological answer. People usually are not very interested in theological answers. About what our view of salvation is, our dogmas, the priesthood, the sacraments, about our ascetical practices, our fasting, our liturgical services, all those things are very different. But perhaps the biggest difference, really on a practical level, is that we feel ourselves every moment to be part of the living church with living members, those in the flesh and those that no longer have flesh, those that have passed on. And every week, or better yet, in every service, not just once a week, we hear their exploits, we read their lives, we hear the hymns to them, and we hear about those who have passed on before us and are that great cloud of witnesses. They prove to us that indeed it can get done. Those in the cloud of witnesses were once just like us, with sins that held them down, but they had a vision of God and great effort, and that made them patient to endure to the end and hear the words, "Come, ye blessed of my Father." So, brothers and sisters, patience is essential to the Christian life. Some of us are blessed with the kind of patience that doesn't get upset if traffic is congested or if we're inconvenienced or if we lose something. If you're blessed with that, great, you're a rare person. That doesn't matter. I'm not talking about that kind of patience. Spiritual patience is to every day come and see, to every day struggle to pray, to every day fast as you should, to every day forgive your brother, to every day read the scriptures, and to struggle to glean the words of life out of them. And the reason we do this is because we believe the evidence that's before us, the cloud of witnesses. Patience is to be active, to be struggling, to have purpose, and to not give up no matter what. Patience is not passive. Get that idea out of your head. Our soul is won by patience. May God help you to be patient. Amen.